Genesis 18, verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him. Now, wait a minute. The Lord, capital L. This is the divine person from heaven. Appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, as he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. That statement in itself is remarkable. We'll come back to it. And Abram lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord. Now, in the Revised there, again, the word Lord is capitalized. I think in the KJV it is not, perhaps. He said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray thee, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Significant. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abram hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, Make ready quickly. There's an urgency here. Three measures of fine meal. Knead it and make cakes on the hearth. And Abram ran. More urgency. Didn't walk, ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man. And he hastened, more urgency, to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. Before who? Well, the three heavenly beings that had come to him. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Now, just by contrast, and we won't spend much time in it, but come to the 19th chapter, verse 1. Here's a very contrasting picture. Some similarities, some startling differences. There came two angels to Sodom at evening. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. He didn't go running. He just rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, small L, turn I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night. And wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your way. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. Come back to the 18th chapter. We find here Abraham, the man of faith. And a unique thing is about to happen to him, a thing that is filled with typical reality. Now, as most of you understand, the Lord said to his people, to his disciples, just before he went to Calvary, that they were to keep a feast. That is a commemorative oracle, and the New Testament points out to us that it's to be kept week by week, typically on the first day of the week, and it is, the Lord said, to be done so that my people will remember me. It's a special privilege that is offered only to those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and whose lives are oriented to walk according to the commandments of the New Testament. This word picture in Genesis 18 is given to us as a delightful, typical example of what a remembrance meeting really is. I don't think there's another like it in the Bible. Now, first of all, notice that Abraham is the man of faith. It is those who have exercised faith in Christ who can experience what Abraham experienced that day on the plains of Mamre. Now, picture this, gentlemen. He is sitting not in the gate of a palace, not in the gate of Sodom as Lot sat in the next chapter. He's sitting in his tent door. He's a pilgrim. He is living in circumstances that are not ostentatious, though he was a very rich man. He is sitting there in the heat of the day. And lo and behold, three heavenly creatures, one of them, the Lord himself, appears in his presence. Now, couldn't the Lord have called Abram to where the Lord was? Couldn't he have said, Abram, come here? Well, he could have, but he didn't. He came to Abraham. Now, here's the first thing to remember about this that's so typical is that the Lord does not gather with his people in a remembrance context in ostentatious circumstances. He doesn't require a great building. He doesn't require a unique gathering of individuals. They could be gathered literally under a tree, as was true here. They could be in a simple building like this is, but the Lord comes to his people, not the other way around. This is something we should really get a hold of and enjoy. He comes to us. He came to Abram. Abram's sitting there in the heat of the day. If you remember one of the 90-some degree days we had a while back, you know that isn't all that pleasant. But there he sits in his tent door. And I don't think that he looked out across the plain of Mamre and saw these three coming. I think rather they appeared beside him, rather suddenly and rather uniquely. But instantly he recognized the presence of the Lord. Now, child of God, as you and I gather to remember the Lord, we should recognize the Lord's presence amongst us. We're not gathered to remember him in some casual, mindless way. It isn't something dumb and indifferent as a session of Congress. It's much more important than that. For we are gathering in the presence of the Lord of glory. None less. The King of Kings. The Creator of the world. The Savior of our souls. Abraham rises and hastens to meet them. There's urgency here. You know, a lot of people today, Christians, we're not the only Christians. We know that. But there are a lot of Christians today that don't seem to hasten to remember the Lord. They just don't bother. I've got relatives who go to such places today. And I say to them, do you remember the Lord? Oh, yeah, 3-4 times a year. And what do? Well, I won't bother telling you what they do. It doesn't matter. But Abraham hastened to be in the presence of the Lord. Is it an urgency with you? Yes, son. Have to get up a little earlier Sunday morning. Some of you are retired people. But it's worth it. There is such a thing as putting on the better clothes, having an early breakfast, spending a little time getting ready. We're going to talk about that. You know, if you were to meet an exalted person of the world, you'd get ready. You would put on special clothes and be careful as to what you were going to say and not say. At least with some of our presidents you would. Maybe others you wouldn't bother. But anyway, if it was an important personage, you'd get ready. He hastened. He has a commission now for three people. Sarah, a young lad, and himself. This reminds us, a feast is to be prepared. Not for Abram, not for Sarah, not for anyone else in the household, but for the visitors. The remembrance meeting is all for Christ. Not for us. We're feeding Him. Did you know that you can actually enrich and feed the God of heaven through your worship? That's what's intended. That's what the remembrance meeting is all about. That's why He said to His disciples so long ago, "This do in remembrance of Me." Not to aggrandize yourselves, not to exalt yourselves, not to say that we're putting on some great thing here, but I'm the object. Christ is the object. And we're to be bringing to Him that which we prepare in our hearts for Himself. Now He goes to Sarah. And He says, prepare quickly. There's an urgency. Sarah, get the hearth going. Prepare three measures of meal. And prepare them quickly. He then runs to his herd. And he catches a calf, tender and good. We're going to come back to these things. And he brings it in. And he gives it to a young lad of his household to dress it, to get it ready. Well, what does this tell us? The participation of the remembrance meeting is for all who are in fellowship. You don't come just to hold a chair down. You come, rather, to bring something that has been prepared with the help of the Holy Spirit, prepared by you for Him. Now, if you spent the early morning hours of Sunday reading the Sunday comics, you're not preparing much for Him. If you spent your time taken up with the concerns and the pleasures of life on Sunday morning, you're not preparing anything for Him. If you spent the early morning hours preparing food for the day, as so many housewives find it necessary to do, that's not something for Him. Here we have the dedication of the household of Abraham preparing this feast. Now, what was the feast composed of? Most startling. First of all, cakes of meal. What does that remind you of? If you're thinking in terms of worshiping Christ, what would the cakes of fine flour remind you of? Oh, that's reminds you of the Savior's life. You remember as you get into the Levitical offerings, there's the offering of bread that is presented to God. It is the meal offering. Here we find it in symbol, prepared to present before the Lord the realities of His spotless and His glorious life while here on earth. Then Abram went and got a calf. Well, what does that remind you of? Well, that reminds you of the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, as we were reminded this morning at Calvary. God's Lamb, placed upon the altar. This takes us back to Leviticus 1, and the whole burnt offering sacrifice, all for God. The whole calf was brought and dressed. It wasn't just to be thrown wunkus munkus in front of the visitors. It was to be guessed. It was to be dressed. It was to be prepared. It was to be put in the condition where they could enjoy it. And the calf was there. Remember now, in the preparation of that calf, that was the work of a young man. You know, sometimes I think that we look at one another or look at ourselves and we say, well, you know, remembrance meeting is pretty much a matter of a few of the old men, you know. If they don't take part, why, it just doesn't go very far, you know. It's three or four of those older fellows plus Scott, of course, who's much younger, who participate routinely. And if they don't, why, we're not going to have much of a remembrance meeting. There's an element of truth in that, but I want you to remember, folks, that we're all to participate. The sisters as well. You know, every once in a while, somebody in the remembrance meeting will give out a hymn. And I'll happen to notice my wife's hymn book is already open, and I'll glance over to see what it is. And as often as not, she's already at the hymn that's just been given out. You see, if we're led by the Spirit of God, it all fits together. Story is told of a person, a Christian, who came into a remembrance meeting, and he sat in the back to observe, and he listened, and he said afterwards to one of the elders, he said, that was a most remarkable meeting. He said, it all fit together. It all dovetailed. He said, who was the MC? Who put it together? Well, the elder brother had the privilege of introducing him to the MC, the Holy Spirit of God, who puts it all together. Brethren, be careful, I urge you, to be guided of the Spirit of God. Every Sunday morning before I come, I ask the Lord that He will motivate me, that He'll restrain me, that He'll control me by the Spirit of God, so that I'm in His mind in the remembrance meeting. Brethren, be motivated. But don't come determined to take part. Come prepared to worship. Don't resist the Spirit of God. I remember when I was first in the assembly, and I came into assembly fellowship when I was 13, and then it was a Sunday morning, I would sit through the meeting, and something on my mind, the Spirit of God was saying, give out that hymn, or stand up and express that thought. And I would sit, as if I was sitting on a stick of gum, on my chair, waiting while the older men did their thing. And a certain degree of deference and reverence to age is good. But don't just sit on your stick of gum for the rest of your life, folks. If you're motivated by the Spirit of God, then when the opportunity is presented, rise and give that blessing to the Lord. Motivated, controlled restrained. Sometimes we pop up because we think, oh, it's my turn now. We really have nothing to say. Or we're completely off the track. Have you noticed? And it's so often true here. We'll go through a remembrance meeting at the end. Maybe on the way home we'll be talking and we'll say, did you notice? The whole thing fit together this morning. The thought was woven right through beautifully, orchestrated by the Spirit of God. This meal, oh, and there was one other element. Not only the meal that Sarah prepared, not only the calf, but milk and butter. What's that? Oh, that's what comes from the life of the Lord as blessing and delight. That speaks of the fruit of His labor and His sacrifice for us. I mean, if you don't get milk from the cow, there's not much point in having the milk, the cow, is there? Or butter either. And remember, in these old days, making butter was hard work. I'm sure Sarah labored inside the tent in the heat of the day with some kind of a churn or some kind of a mortar and pestle to make butter. Not margarine, mind you. That's vegetable. But only butter. And here it is. Here's the meal. The calf, the fine cakes, the butter and the milk. What a privilege. And he brings it out, and where do they eat? Notice what it says in verse 8. Abram stood beside them as they ate under the tree. Oh, what a picture. Here's Calvary. The tree reminds us of the cross of our Savior, where He died for us, and it's in the shadow of the cross that this feast is kept. You'll notice, and I must have read this portion 20 times in the last week, and I just noticed it this morning. Abram said, come and rest a while. Where else do we find our Savior resting? Quickly, you're welcome to respond, brethren. We find Him on the seventh day of creation. God rested from all His works. This is the same God. He rests here. Is there anywhere else? You know, I'm a little dull. I couldn't think. I was thinking, I should have asked my wife. She'd probably fill me in. I know Wilma. She'll catch me up afterwards and tell me, is there anywhere else where the Lord...
In the middle of the storm,
He was asleep. I wonder if His spirit was at rest. Doesn't say that, does it? No. You know, the thing that struck me about this was, Abram said, come over here by the tree and rest a while. You know, it's a nice thought to me that as we gather to remember Him, when we do so in the Spirit of God, the Lord is present in our midst. And He's there in a spirit of contentment. Not there to agitate, but there to enjoy what we give to Him. Oh, child of God, this is a great privilege. Do you see the simile here that we're talking about? How this relates to a remembrance meeting. Now let's just consider for a moment what went on in Lot, in Sodom. Now, at the end of the visit, the Lord, He goes back to heaven, obviously. And the other two, who are angels, they head for Sodom. And as they get there, Lot is sitting in the gate. Who is Lot? Well, he's a relative of Abram. He knew what was right, but he wasn't following what was right. Sitting in the gate means that he was on the city council. He was one of the leaders of the social set of Sodom, of all places. You know, a believer can go down a long, long way. It reminds us, you and I, as believers, we're not to get involved in the government of the land. Oh, we may be interested in it. We may exercise our privilege to vote. But I would have run for president long ago, except that Edie herself told me she wouldn't vote for me. So I wouldn't get any votes. And I don't belong there. I don't belong in the White House. I don't belong on the city council. I don't belong. I was strongly asked some years ago to become the mayor of the city where we live. And as I began to listen to the issues that had to be dealt with if I said yes and I didn't, I was actually frightened in a short time at the kind of stuff that I would have to cope with if I were a member of the government of that town. I don't belong there. I'm a Christian. I'm a citizen of heaven. My appetites and my work are oriented toward the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I am an ambassador for Christ. Not an ambassador for England or France or the United States. An ambassador for Christ. Lot in the gate. And the two angels come to him, and he rises to meet them. And he says, fetch a little water and wash your feet. That was the ultimate courtesy of the Orient when a traveler came. Abraham immediately invited the Lord and his companions to have their feet washed. Lot does the same, but not with the haste. And then he says to them, when you've washed your feet, come on into my house and spend the night. No. A cold, firm decline. We'll spend our night in the street. If you do not walk in the Lord's ways, He will not fellowship with you. If you do not seek His fellowship, you will not know His fellowship, because it is a unique privilege given to those who are His own and who walk for Him. I hope, folks, that you will perhaps get a hold of this little picture at the beginning of Genesis 18 and enjoy it as much as I have. It's a marvelous illustration of what the Lord said to us when He said, this do in remembrance of me. Remember what the bill of fare was. The cakes, the calf, the milk, the butter. Remember who served it. Abraham, Sarah, and a young man. Equally involved in presenting a meal to the Lord. I was going to say, can you imagine actually preparing a meal and knowing that the guest out there waiting by the tree is the Lord from heaven? Can you imagine? I was going to say that, and then I thought, imagine it. That's what we do every Sunday morning if we know what we're doing. That's exactly what it is. It's a delightful privilege to prepare for and to present it to him under the tree in the shadow of the cross. Oh, may God preserve us to remember him as he asked us to do, to keep this feast week by week until he takes us home. Scott wasn't here last week, but he said he heard all the way in Timbuktu or wherever he was that Max had commented last Sunday that he had been some 4,000 times to remember the Lord. And Edie and I were ratcheting up numbers in our own heads and considering that we did it, we went and attended from our earliest years. We weren't always part of the fellowship, but we attended from our earliest years. I think we have been 4,000 times ourselves to remember the Lord. I mentioned to you last Sunday that place on Mount Zion where the upper room still is. It is said to be the place where the Lord commemorated the feast. Not the same room. They say that room was destroyed at the time of the invasion, the Roman invasion by Titus in AD 70. There's a flight of steps goes up. I didn't count the steps, but I would guess from memory probably 18 or 20. And they're made of wood. There's side supports that are made of steel or iron. And then the wood steps across. And you know, those wooden steps have become so worn with the multitude of feet that have gone up that they're now underlaid with a plate of iron each step, else it would probably break under the weight of people going up if it was only wood. It's so worn. You know, as I went up those steps, it reminded me that people from all over the world, every kindred, tongue, and people and nation, have mounted those steps, as Edie and I did one day, to go up into that simple upper room. And when you get up there, it's simply a well-groomed, well-cared-for room with a large table in the middle and a dozen chairs around the table. And you can stand there and look and say to yourself, this is the setting wherein my Lord declared for all his church, including me, this do in remembrance of me. Let us pray, and then we'll sing a couple of verses of number 135, I think. Yes, it is 135. Father,